You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner takes us on a road trip this morning. We follow the Red River campaign of the American Civil War.
Reading old diaries and accounts of the military campaigns in the Red River Valley is a passion for a historian like me. One thing I've noted is that these 19th century writers detail the lay of the land as they pass through it. Military history students commonly take trips called staff rides, following a campaign as close to the original route as possible. I've enjoyed taking students, even cadets from West Point, on Red River campaign staff rides. I often begin along the Red River at the little village of Grand Accord near Natchitoches, following west on Highway 6 to near Robeline, then northwest to Belmont, and north to Mansfield. Driving today, it takes less than an hour. The Union Army took more than 3 days to make the same trek. The diarist who described their march over 140 years ago described a landscape we can only imagine. These soldiers marched along roads that we still drive on today, although they are much larger and greatly improved. They detail their travels through a never-ending cathedral of green, almost impossibly tall pine trees with an interlocking canopy so thick that true sunlight was visible only at noon. Except in places where the Caddo Indians or some pioneer settlers hacked out a pasture, this forest spread all over the region between the Sabine and Red Rivers in the hills of northwest Louisiana. One soldier described it as a howling wilderness. A reporter accompanying the Union Army indicated that civilization would never come to this region unless man and beast could learn to live on pine knots and pine rosin. The writer explained that there were no briars or underbrush, the trees being so thick that they cut out all of the available light. Today, few of these white and yellow pines remain. They were clear-cut around 1900, shipped as prized wood for furniture makers in the North and the Midwest. The great forests were not replanted, and faster-growing pines took hold. The topsoil they held washed off with the rains and clogged the streams to the extent that steamboats could no longer ply them. What a sight these great forests must have been! Just north of the town of Pleasant Hill is a large field, which appears on the first governmental maps even larger than it is today. The area was simply labeled Big Field. It had been carved out by the Caddo Indians long before the arrival of the white settlers. Some of the original government survey maps, dating back from the 1820s and 1830s, show other fields opened by the Native Americans, but they were a rarity. Unless an area was flooded by the Great Raft, the giant log jam on the Red River and its tributaries, North Louisiana was a land of primordial forests. Many times, tour groups visiting Civil War battlefields believe they are seeing what the soldiers saw. In fact, that's rarely the case. The hills are still there, the streams too, but generally speaking, the battlefields today have little resemblance to what was there in the 1860s. This is particularly true of Mansfield and Pleasant Hill. At Mansfield, the forested areas were open at the time of the battle, and the open areas were forests. At Pleasant Hill, the old maps show forests, but they were composed of those giant yellow and white pines, not the slash and loblolly of today. Fortunately, many battlefield parks have finally decided to return the lay of the land to its original landscape. Thanks to them, as we learn history, we will better be able to see it as the soldiers did, giving us a better sense of what they endured and accomplished. Battlefield landscapes are backdrops for the stories of military history. History that matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport. He joins us every Tuesday morning at 7:35.